Well, let's read this together as we read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. Now let's turn, if you would, turn over to Numbers. I want to just look at a few of the scriptures that we've been looking at. Numbers 27 and verse 16. And again, we're talking about the honor of God. One of the things that, how many would agree that things, words that we use in our society, in the English language, sometimes, and a lot of times, mean something entirely different than how God uses it? We can use the word respect and honor almost interchangeably in the English language. God doesn't. If you look at his word, he don't use them interchangeably. When he says you honor your father and mother, and he said children obey your parents in the Lord, he didn't say respect them, he said honor them and obey them. And he talks about the wives reverencing your husband. That's respect and reverence and venerate. Let me ask this question. One of the things that I realized is, or maybe you realize this, do you realize that respect and honor is conditional? And I'll tell you why. I'm talking about in the natural now. I'm not talking about spiritual. I'm talking about in the natural. In the natural, respect and honor is conditional. I'll give you an example. How many would walk by a person that's laying on the street, who's homeless, and give them respect and honor? How many would just walk by and just, I can't be bothered. I gotta go. How many would respect and honor the downcast? And how many would respect someone who's achieved a status? Most would. So respect and honor is conditional. It shouldn't be. Now in God's eyes, he says, honor some men. All men. That means even the homeless. That means the downcast. That means the ones that are up high and the ones that are down low. He says to honor them. But in our society, it's conditional, isn't it? So, again, honor is something that is directly connected with love. And honor is more than just our English definition of having great respect. So honor is about having great love. So one of the things that you can see, honor goes above and beyond and does more than is expected because they value the relationship and the person. So in other words, we're to love one another. If you love someone, you will honor them. You will respect them. If you don't honor them, that was one of the things that in this book that I had shared, you can download it off of Amazon. It's called, I mentioned it before, it's called The Greatest Thing in the World. It's by Henry Drummond. It's a little book you can buy. You can put it on your Kindle or your iPad. But he made this comment. He said, you really can't love someone unless you respect and honor them. So in that sense, when you look at honor, think about what Jesus did. He did not just show respect for people, he honored them, even in Jesus' walk. He showed by his words and deeds that he valued people. Jesus did it. And so you can see with his disciples, he put them aside, he gave them, he honored them, he taught them, and he expected great things of them. Even though that was a rough group, wasn't it? he didn't treat them like they were, like they acted, you see. So as I was sharing, that is conditional, but in God's kingdom, it is not. Now, Numbers 27 in verse 16, it says, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, you see, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep with which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and do what? Lay thine hand upon him. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. So you can see that this had something to do with his leadership, future leadership. And Moses, before he transitioned out of this earth, transferred some of his honor, some of his authority, you could say, some of his anointing, some of the glory that rested upon him, some of the presence of God that rested upon him, was transferred to Joshua. And down in verse 23, it says, and he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So it had to have had an impact on his leadership. It had to have, and we read that it did. So here, honor, as you can see here, it said he transferred some of that honor, or he put some. And you can see here that he didn't bestow all of it. So that means that some of it was bestowed upon him, and that means you can grow into something, you can mature in something. Amen. Let's turn over to 1 Samuel. Let's go over there. Let's take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. And let's look at verse 30. Just looking at some of the few of the scriptures that we've used as foundation scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. And it says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And despising can be, sometimes we look at the word despise and just the way we use the word, and we think it may mean disgust or something, you know, we revile something, we're disgusted with something, we despise it. But the mere fact that we don't honor in God's eyes when we should honor something or someone is despising. In other words, when you despise something, you esteem it lightly. You don't value it. So that's why when we come and we receive an offering or we receive a ministry gift, if we don't receive that with honor and respect, then you're despising that. And I will say, as we grow in the Lord, we've all been in places where we haven't esteemed something properly, have we not? Every one of us. But here's what I say, that when God reveals to you that you're out of place, that you're wrong, then you're accountable for it. When you see the light on that, when you understand fully, whoops, I missed that. I shouldn't have done that. Then you're accountable. Then you say, Lord, forgive me. I missed it in this area. And you move on. You ask him for forgiveness. Amen. So don't get in the ditch over it. But if you begin to see that you haven't esteemed something or honored something properly, either it's someone or his gifts. Some people, you know, we've seen this, they kind of disregard. How many people have heard, you know, they make fun of the gifts of the Spirit? Not here, but I'm saying there are people that do. So what are they doing? They're disregarding, they're despising the gifts of the Spirit. Or people can make fun of us, you know, sowing our seed, our money, into the kingdom of God. They're despising that, aren't they? Where some of us, we bring with our heart cheerfully to give. You see, we esteem that highly. We value that. And value the fact that I can give and sow into God's kingdom. Let's turn this evening we're here. Romans chapter 13. I'm just going to use a couple of examples here. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. I want to just look at some examples in the Bible of honor. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. Familiar with this? It says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And that word, if you read it, fear, you know, when it talks about the fear of the Lord or fear God, it means to reverence and respect. It can also mean fear or dread, but it means to reverence or respect. The NIV says in this verse, it says, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. You know, we had, I'm just thinking of that when I hear that. We had a years ago, when this ministry first got started, there was a member here that went around and was promoting that and voicing it, that we don't pay taxes. Anybody remember that? Yeah. Some are nodding their head. This says here, if you owe taxes, pay taxes. Amen. It says, if revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. The complete Jewish Bible says, pay everyone what he is owed. See, that means don't skip your bills. That's what that means. If you owe the tax collector, pay your taxes. If you owe the revenue collector, pay revenue. If you owe someone respect, pay him respect. If you owe someone honor, pay him honor. Amen. Glory to God. Now here's, let's look at this example here. Let's go over to Genesis for a moment. Genesis chapter 4. These are just some examples where we look at respect and honor. Looking at Cain and Abel. And look at chapter 4. And look at verse, starting in verse 1, it says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but, Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the what? The firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof." And what does it say? "And the Lord had what? Respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect." So we can see here that Abel had to have brought something that pleased and honored God. And I would, it doesn't say in the scripture that God told him what to bring. It doesn't say, but you can see that somewhere from his heart, he brought something. And I think that God looks at the heart and he weighs the heart as to what we bring, how we bring that. It says here, he brought the firstlings of his flock and what? The fat thereof. And the Lord said he had respect. So when you see here that Cain, he had no respect, he something he did displeased God. Something he did. How he brought his offering. What he brought his offering. You know, what he brought. It says he brought of the fruit of the ground an offering. Was it the first? We don't know. It doesn't say. But I can tell you it displeased God. So when we start to bring our offerings to the Lord, if, I'll say it this way, if Abel brought the firstlings, the first fruits, and the fat thereof, so there was excess there. I think if it was good enough for Abel, I think it's good enough for us, isn't it? If it pleased God that he brought the firstlings of his flock, then I think we ought to bring the first fruits of our increase. And with the right heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity. Amen. I'd rather have God pleased, wouldn't you? Yeah. Let's go to 1 Samuel. You know, you really can see honor and respect in a lot of the accounts. 1 Samuel 17, you can see this in the story of David and Goliath. When you look at, when you go down through, and let's just pick up over after his father told him to, after Jesse told him to take the food to his brethren. But when you read down through there, and you get to about verse 23, it says, "And as he talked with them," this is after he brought the food and so forth, it says, "as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them." And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man?" See, let me back up. They were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to do what? To defy Israel is he come up." So you could say he was disrespecting, defying, not according any honor at all. He was, as they say, dissing that whole group, wasn't he? It says, "And the men of Israel," and it says here, "to defy Israel as he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." Verse 26, "And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the what? Taketh away what? The reproach." That's the word I wanted you to see. The reproach of Israel. That word reproach, and I was touching on this a couple of weeks ago, the word reproach means shame. Disrespect, shame, rebuke, discredit or disgrace. So he was rebuking, shaming them, you see. What did David say? He said, well, let me back up again. Let me read it again. "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach?" See, that was what he wanted to take away the reproach that he was speaking over Israel. What do you do if somebody speaks reproach over your husband or wife? What do you do when someone speaks reproach over your government? What do you do when someone speaks reproach over your church or your pastor? What do you do when somebody speaks reproach over your God? Well, David, he was a little upset, wasn't he? He said, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" See, the more I meditate in this and I see this, that this word reproach, there's a reproach that has come upon this nation. There's a shame that has come upon this. Help me out. Somebody find it. It's in Proverbs. He said, where's that scripture? It said, righteousness, you help me. "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to what?" Right. So when there's sin, it's a reproach. And it's a reproach on our nation. It's a shame. And so this is where we have to take a look at this. I apologize for not getting up, because all of a sudden that word reproach kind of jumped up, and I'm over here going, let me look where reproach is, because that kind of jumped up in me. And I said, there's more to this than we just read over reproach and see how that ties in with honor and respect. Huh? Proverbs 14:34. Thank you. Why don't you read that again? Read that in the King Jamie. Go right ahead. Somebody read it.
"Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people."
To any people, right? And that word again, reproach, means shame, rebuke, discredit, or disgrace. So, what David wanted was to take away the reproach, when he said the reproach from Israel. So when we look at that word in Second and Chronicles when it talks about if my people will humble themselves and pray and repent and turn from their wicked ways, he said, I will heal their land. Forgive their sins and heal their land. So God will literally, when we repent and humble ourselves, he will heal the reproach that's upon this land, the shame that's upon it. So you can see here, and just in this story here, and you can continue on in this, but you can see how David was really, he was upset that somebody was shaming or putting a reproach upon Israel, not honoring his God and shaming them. So you can see that here. Now here's another. I think we talked about this. Let's turn to Mark 14. Mark 14. And also this is in Luke 7, but we'll look at Mark 14, verse 3. This is the story about the woman with the alabaster box. Verse 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, and as he sat at meat, there came a woman, and having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. She's talking about Jesus here. And there were some that had indignation within themselves. See? That's an interesting thing right there. So they despised, they didn't value the Lord like this woman did. They didn't esteem him. And it said here, she brake the box and poured it on his head, and there was some that had indignation within themselves, and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me you have not always. And she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the world, the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And we can go back and look at those that honor me, I will honor. Those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. She's being honored because she honored him. And let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4. We went over this in one of the lessons. The woman at Shunem. The Shunammite. Shunammite. I'll get it right. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8. Talks about the woman here who had great honor for the man of God. And it fell on that day, verse 8, that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that what? This is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set him, for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And of course, you know the story that he did, and because of her kindness, the Lord prompted him to say, what do you need? And what did she say? She said nothing, but then he said, well, you'll be with child. So you can see that her act of kindness afforded an honor to her. So you can see that. And then also, we touched on this. You don't have to turn there. You can turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. But Cornelius, in Acts 10, it says, "And his prayers and his alms are come up for a memorial before God." So his alms and his prayers, it says in the New Living, it says, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor are not gone unnoticed by God." So honoring God includes honoring his people. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And this is the story you can see here. This is another story about honor. And this is about David and Uriah. And you can see here this story where David acted in a way that wasn't very honorable. But you can see how Uriah, if you look in verse 11, in chapter 11, how David had called for him and so forth. And in verse 11, and it said, "And Uriah said unto David, the ark," and of course he's inviting him to stay in his house and so forth. And he said, "And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. And my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go in to mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thou soul liveth, I will not do this thing." That's an honor right there. He was honoring David. Say, he's saying, look, I honor you. I honor the men and respect the men that are out in the field. He said, I won't partake of these things. I'm not going to do that. "And David said unto Uriah, tarry here today also and tomorrow. I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow." And verse 13, "And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of the Lord." But look what it said. "But went not down to his house, even when he was drunk." So there was, you can see there was honor in this man's heart. That even after he got drunk, you know, some people get drunk, I mean, you know this, they act crazy. But, you know, there's some people, even when, I grew up, I mean, so did you, you know, we did all of the little things that we do. But even when people, when I was around people that were drunk, they weren't crazy. So there's something that when a person has honor in their heart, even in this situation where he was drunk, he was made to be drunk, he still honored. He wasn't dishonorable. So we can see this comes from the heart, don't we? So I thought that was interesting. It said, "And he made him drunk, and at even when he went out to lie in his bed with," what? "The servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house." That's honor and respect. So you can see here, there's a number of others. I'm not going to go over that here now, but I want to just cover a few of these examples here. But look up the word Well, let's look up one more here. Let's go to Hebrews 11, 26. Hebrews 11. Started to look this up, and I may spend a little more time looking at this. But Hebrews chapter 11. And look at verse 24. Actually, let's back up to verse 23. It said, by faith, when Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. But they weren't afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now look at verse 26. Esteeming the what? The reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had what? Respect under the recompense of the reward. So he esteemed the reproach, the shame, the disregard, shame and the disregard, the disrespect or the dishonor of Christ more than the riches of and treasures of Egypt. So we can see there's another scripture in 1 Timothy, I believe. If you could just back up 1 Timothy, I believe it's chapter 3, right. This talks about, in 1 Timothy 3, it talks about a man desiring the office of a bishop. And, of course, you go down and it says, you know, 3, not given to wine, no striker, greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, not one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Now look at verse 6 and 7. Not a novice, that's somebody newly come to the faith, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Look at verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that which are without, lest he fall into what? Reproach and what? The snare of the devil. So you can see when there's reproach, one can fall into the snare of the devil. So you can see here that reproach is not a good thing, is it? And so when it comes to reproach, the one thing that Moses did was he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures and riches that were afforded him. And so even where we're concerned, I say it this way, walk in the authority that you have and don't let people shame you or reproach you, at least for something that you, I'll say it this way, not for something that you've done wrong, but if you're doing right and you're doing things for God, you know, walk in his righteousness, walk in his authority, and don't let the devil shame you through people. Don't let that be something that you let into your thinking, into your mind, into your heart. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And so you have a glory and an honor that rests upon you. And don't let people shame you. I'll just say that, because that's too often. I think we're coming, there's a strong connection between honor and glory. When you think about Adam and Eve, that's another story that you could look at where honor is concerned. They did not value the direction that God gave, and they did what? They respected or honored the word that came from the serpent. So what happened? The glory lifted from them. They knew they were naked, and they were what? They were put out of the garden. So that honor lifted from them. That anointing lifted from them. And so we need to just watch, and when we think about that, keep ourselves free from sin so that you don't find yourself open to what? Reproach. Keep yourself free. What does it say? Purge yourself. So I think as far as God's honor is concerned, that he has given all of us, he's made us right with God, we are his righteousness, so there is a glory and an honor that goes along with that. It is an honor and a glory to be called his children. And so anyone that doesn't honor that, then, you know, you need to think about that. Share with someone what an honor it is. What a glory it is to be called the child of the Most High God. Amen. 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 Glory to God.